The Gospel reading from Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not assume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, today is the Peace Sunday in the Advent calendar, and I've always thought it a little odd that John the Baptist would make an interruption. On the face of it, having John appear while we're supposed to be thinking on peace is almost as counterintuitive as having Solomon show up when we're supposed to be talking about chastity. Those who know the Bible will get that. That's on the face of it. But the deeper truth is John is actually the perfect person to come and to speak to us this morning about peace, because John knew and stood for the fact that if we really want to have peace, then we have to work for justice. And John was a prophet of justice. A little about the prophet John. Scripture tells us that he and Jesus were distant cousins. John came from a family of priests, but he apparently left the priestly cult in Jerusalem out of protest and established a kind of renegade religious community out in the wilderness of Judea. I have been to where many scholars think John actually did his ministry. The landscape is harsh and rugged, a true, true wilderness. Like if we imagine Mars meeting Lubbock, that's where John did his work. John was a prophet, and he was strongly, strongly ethically minded. He had a powerful vision for a community where things would be just, important things shared, and no one mistreated or oppressed. John's lifestyle and tactics would have no doubt made a lot of us middle-class folks squirm. He would not have been invited to give the invocation at the monthly meeting of the Rotarians. He was not polite. He was not well-behaved. He was not couth. And he was not bought off. He was a prophet, and more than a prophet. No one ever born of a woman was greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. John was Jesus's forerunner. He came to get the people ready for the coming of Jesus. The Prince of Peace was coming. And John believed that we make peace by working for justice. Or as the contemporary slogan found on many placards in recent years says, no peace, no justice. Our city our city is facing a trial this week that is important for our community. Tatiana Jefferson was killed in her own home by Fort Worth police officer Aaron Dean after Dean arrived at her house on a welfare check back in 2019. After 3 long years, Mr. Dean goes on trial tomorrow. And there's not much I wish to say about the trial right now, except that I do pray for justice and that I also find it bewildering that no black person was selected for the jury, though Mrs. Jefferson was herself a black woman and she lived in a black part of town. The part of town with literally the lowest life expectancy in all of the state of Texas. We cannot do anything right now to affect the outcome of this trial, nor should we. What we can do, however, is to take the moment this morning to let John the Baptist come to us on the banks of the Jordan River once more, and to get us ready and to baptize us back into the things that John lived and died for, the things that make for peace, even in a neighborhood like the one I just referred to. Greater equity in society, freedom from the abuse of power, a tax system that is fair and does not benefit the rich to the poverty of all of the rest of us. A community where everyone can live and thrive without a sense of exploitation or fear. If you read John's sermon in Luke chapter 3, these are the basics of what John was all about. And it is the message that so captivated and called Jesus there on the banks of the Jordan. And when John was taken, it is the mantle that Jesus himself took up. And it is the mantle that we today are called to carry on. I want to confess something to you this morning. As a pastor and as a friend and as a fellow struggler, I feel a certain fatigue among us right now. I'm afraid that some of us are in danger of becoming weary from all of our well-doing. We can be tired of the struggle, and we can be exhausted by so much talk and so little progress. Is a more perfect union even possible? And all of these problems that we continue to face today that have been persistent for decades and decades, are they just intractable? We wonder if we're getting anywhere, and we wonder if we can get anywhere. And then here comes John the Baptist yet again telling us to gird up our loins, calling us to repent, calling the whole world to repentance. And honestly, where I was this week thinking, it can seem like he's asking still a little bit too much, like he hopes too much and believes too much in the world and in our ability to change the world. But then we remember, then I remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist, that there was no one born of women greater than John. And the very least in the kingdom of heaven is even greater than him. I read that and I take it to mean a word of encouragement for me this morning. A word of encouragement that says, hey, there is still a world out there that John dreamed of and Jesus believed in and is waiting on us to give birth to. A world that maybe John didn't see, but a world worth taking his mantle up to keep fighting for, a world worth fighting the good fight for, that there's still a beloved community out there worthy of all of our hopes and our dreams and our longings, the Spirit's longings for this community and this country. We can't give up on those things just because the work is hard and progress is slow and sometimes we don't seem to be getting anywhere. That is just the reason. That is just the very reason for the words from the prophet Isaiah this morning. And lo, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall shoot forth from the very depths of the roots. Something can happen in the hearts of a people and the heart of this world, and that we have to keep on believing in it and working towards it. We have to keep on working for peace through justice, even when the ground is hard and the earth is dark, especially when the earth is dark. And Kennedy Myers' words this morning were a great shot in the arm to me when she stood in the waters and said, "I want to follow Jesus in the way of justice and peace, and a child shall lead them." On Friday, I was on a text chain with a few pastor friends when we got the word about the makeup of the jury. There was a lot of dismay, gnashing of teeth. It was a group of clergy members, so we didn't say any cuss words, but we knew what we meant. But then my dear, dear friend, Reverend Ralph Emerson, who was the dean of the black clergy here in our community and used to be a member of this church before he got his own church 20 or 30 years ago. And he wrote back these words, "I recognize this is a travesty, but I want you to know that our God is still seated. Our God is still seated." And the psalmist says, "And righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And lo, a shoot shall come forth from the branch, and a highway will be made in the wilderness, and a lion and a lamb will lie down together, and peace will come with justice for all, everywhere." This is still our hope. May we be baptized once more this Advent in the goodness of its vision. For the Prince of Peace is coming, and we are called. You and me are called to make the way.